Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise God.
Amen.
It's good to be here tonight. You know, I was just thinking about that song a little bit that we just sang, you know, that go and let God have his wonderful way. You know, you get in God's presence. And it is so true that, you know, the things that may be bogging us down, maybe interfering with our lives, suddenly vanish. You know, it is so wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord, that special place where he is. And you know, it's just so wonderful to just have that feeling, that reassurance that, you know, God is right there in your presence, in your midst.
Yes, he is.
Praise the Lord, waiting to just meet every need, every situation, every trial, every test. We are so blessed. I know I say this all the time, but it just becomes more and more evident that we are blessed to be God's children.
Thank you, Jesus.
To serve such a mighty God as he is, and to think that he regards us and looks to us, and oh my, meets our needs, he hears us. I'm sure we're repetitious at times, and who else could bear such? But oh my, he listens and he cares, and oh yes, he answers. And yes, we are very blessed to be his children. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. So praise your holy, holy name, Lord. Thank you for what you've done, Lord. Thank you for the miracles. Oh God, thank you for the faith you put in our hearts. And thank you for getting us here tonight, Lord. Oh God, I just pray, oh God, you know the struggles. And I pray that, oh Lord, you would meet the needs of your people, Lord. Oh God, we are pilgrims and strangers down in this earth. And oh Lord, sometimes things get a little bit fuzzy. They get confusing, Lord. And oh God, sometimes as human beings, we get discouraged. But I pray, oh God, that you would lift up our spirits, Lord. I pray that you would talk to our souls and encourage us, Lord. I pray that your presence would come down, Lord. Oh God, for in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore, Lord. And we are thankful, God. We do praise you, Lord. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that you'd be with your people, Lord. You know the needs, Lord. Help us here tonight. Be with Bill, Lord, who's so sick, needs thy touch, Lord. I pray that you would touch him, Lord. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh God, that you would heal that infirmity.
Heal.
And oh Lord, you know what he needs, Lord. Oh God, as they deliberate on what, oh God, to do, I pray that you would touch him, Lord, that you touch those kidneys in the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord. I pray that you would touch his bladder, oh Lord Jesus, and
yes,
I pray,
Lord,
that
God,
you would heal him. Oh God, that you take away the cancer.
Yes.
Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, give us faith to believe you, Lord. Oh God, do a work, Lord Jesus. Help your people, Lord. Oh God, help your people. Give us faith to carry on. And oh God, help us, Lord, to not stop believing and trusting, Lord. Oh Lord, and to looking to thee. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh God, continue to heal Tim, Lord. And oh God, be with him even right now, Lord. Oh God, and I pray, oh God, that you'd give me the words, the authority, the ability, and the anointing I need, oh Lord, to teach this message. I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. Our God is good. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to be quite hugely in the Old Testament, I think, tonight. There may be a few surprises there in the New, but we're going to be talking about our God, who is greatly to be feared. In fact, let's go to that psalm that brings this very point out. Praise the Lord. Psalms 89. We could just go there for a moment and see how the Lord might just lead here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 89, and we're going to verse 7. Praise the Lord. Psalms 89, It tells us this single verse here, the seventh verse in this chapter, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to define a few words before we go too far here tonight. Praise the Lord. We're going to just talk about that word fear for just a moment. I believe it can be taken with two different connotations here. But first of all, if we're talking about the assembly of his saints, praise the Lord, I believe then we are talking about the extreme reverence or awe that we have for our God. And that is very necessary. Yes, we know that, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's also the beginning of knowledge. And you know, without that fear, that reverence or awe, and the dictionary says an extreme reverence or awe for our God, we're never going to follow him if we don't have that. And you know, the Lord puts that in our hearts so that, yes, we can esteem him and put him in the proper place that he needs to be. We can have that awesome respect for him that he is so deserving of. Praise the Lord. In fact, if we were to look at the sixth verse, that is right before the seventh one, obviously, it tells us, or shall I say, it asks us, for who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? And oh my, there is none to compare to our God.
That's right.
And then, yes, that seventh verse again. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Now, if, you know, we're on the other hand and not right with the Lord, there's another kind of fear. And that fear concerns God's wrath. And that fear is a reason for dread or apprehension, for danger or sudden calamity. Some synonyms for that kind of fear are fright, dread, horror, panic, alarm, dismay, consternation, trepidation. Oh my. And you know, there's those two sides. If we are the Lord's child, if we're walking with him, then oh yes, we have that wonderful, awesome respect and reverence for him. But on the other hand, we have to be aware of his other side, that side that will bring forth judgment. And if we don't fear him and do his commandments, then, oh my, he's going to judge us with his own righteous judgment. And that's just the way it is. Amen. He's God. And, you know, how can we, you know, argue with him? Indeed, maybe people try while they are still on earth, but, oh my, when you stand before him, there's going to be no arguing with our God. Amen. And you know, you're going to know at that point that there's none among the sons of the mighty that can be likened unto the Lord. Amen. But yes, there's another word here that I want to just define here in that seventh verse. It tells us he is to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Now, you might just think of the word reverence as meaning respect, but I looked in the dictionary, and you know, it goes a little beyond that. It means, dictionary definition, to regard with awe, deference, and devotion.
Yes.
And some synonyms for that are worship, venerate, adore, idolize. It means deepest respect and esteem. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And yes, having said that, And define that word, I just don't think any of us down here on this earth are qualified to be called reverent. No, amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But we are blessed to be able to come to our God with that kind of fear that brings forth salvation. Praise the Lord. And, you know, without it, we would never get to first base, as we know. In the times of old, God demonstrated his power to help those Israelites to realize how powerful he was.
Mm-hmm.
And if we just want to verify that, let's just go for a little bit here to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5 here. Praise the Lord. And here in this chapter, of course, it's Moses' message to the Israelites before he leaves this world in the flesh. But, you know, he is reviewing the steps that God took them through while they walked through the wilderness and how he delivered them out of Egypt. And in this fifth chapter of Deuteronomy, he goes through the Ten Commandments again. And then after he completes them, and I believe Brother Samuel just recently went over those, so I'm not going to read them all tonight, but it tells us in verse 22, these words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, of the thick darkness, with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. And then Moses goes on. And it came to pass, when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And he said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness. And we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Oh, this was a truly marvel here, a marvelous thing. And here, yes, they're talking about this event at Mount Sinai when God talked with man. And yes, to demonstrate his power, oh yes, and his glory, his greatness. Oh, they could see the fire and the mountain that burned, and oh my, all the, you know, all of the things that were just so powerful. And then the voice of God that sounded like a trumpet and you know, spoke out of the midst of the darkness. Yes, it was God demonstrating his great power and his glory, his great might. And oh, yes, the people, the Israelites, oh, were afraid. Oh, they were shaking. And you know, they, as Moses, you know, could they be relieved from that? They said, paraphrasing, Moses, could you just go talk to God and, you know, we will listen to you then. Well, it seems that they thought that, you know, they could die seeing such awesome power being demonstrated and hearing the voice of God talk with man. It says in verse 25, now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more than we shall die. And it's like they could not bear the presence of the Lord anymore. You know, and they, I suppose they actually did think that, you know, they could die. It was too much. God's power, his might. Oh, think how it's going to be again when our Lord and Savior comes back to this earth to judge it. He comes in his power and his might. Oh my, oh, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, how is it going to be at that moment? So it goes on. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? And so they went on. Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And so, yes, they literally asked Moses, you go talk to God, and oh, you tell us then what God says, and yes, we will hear it, and we will do it, they promised. And it tells us in verse 28, and the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. You know, it's so awesome. We get into the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
We can literally feel him, and his presence comes down. And oh yes, you know, it's so beautiful, because in that state, that wonderful state where we can feel our God, it just seems like everything else in this world just melts. Mm-hmm. You know, it just becomes, you know, something we don't even care about. It's just so glorious. It's just so wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. To feel him. Oh, yes. And to know that he's real. And you know, if you've never been in that place, oh, draw nigh to God. Get close to God. Worship him. Praise him. Because, oh, it's so wonderful to be in his very presence. Amen.
Amen.
To literally feel him. Oh, that strength that comes from that. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. You know, David said that in Psalm 16, where he stated in verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have that privilege of being at that place where we can speak to him. Oh, yes, where we have access to his throne of grace. And oh, yes, he goes on. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Of course, prophesying of Jesus Christ, oh, praise the Lord, who would conquer death, and oh, yes, his body would not know corruption. Oh, praise the Lord, and praise the Lord, there's a hope for all of us that serve the Lord in that verse too, because, oh, he's not going to leave our soul in hell, in the grave. No, there's a hope beyond this world, praise the Lord. Yes, and it tells us in verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Praise the Lord. The wonderful path of life, you know, oh, the way that we should go. Jesus is the only way. And oh yes, this too is prophetic, this 11th verse. Oh yes, because Jesus Christ was going to come into the scene, and oh yes, he was going to declare that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. He was going to come into the world to bring us back to God. Amen. To restore that fellowship that man had lost. Oh, due to sin. Praise the Lord. Oh,
amen.
We are blessed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But oh, to be in his presence. It's a wonderful thing. It says thy presence, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, amen. Oh, praise our God. Our God is so good, and we're so blessed to be his children. Amen. So, yes, the Israelites, they heard the voice of God, and they lived. Oh, praise the Lord. And it was a marvel. I mean, it scared them to death, obviously. And yeah, they you know, had a little of it, and they didn't want any more. Oh, I don't think we want to be like that. We want to be led by the Spirit of the living God. We want to hear that voice of God that speaks to our souls. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But God heard them. And yeah, he knew that, you know, that was their limit. So it tells us again in verse 28 here in Deuteronomy 5. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. And then verse 29, oh, it states, oh, that there were such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Oh, what a marvel. And that was the heart of God.
Amen.
Oh, yes, that in their heart they would fear him, that they would respect him to such an extent, oh, that they would always keep his commandments, all of his commandments.
Amen.
And yes, in doing so, it would be well with them. It would be well with their souls and with their children. Oh, yes, forever. Oh, praise the Lord. If we could just get that in our heads, if we just, oh, yes, fear the Lord and walk with him and keep his word, his commandments, oh, and love him with that kind of love.
Praise
oh, my, he's going to be with us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, and he's going to guide us.
Thank you, Lord.
But, oh, yes, it was such a time there at the Mount Sinai, there where God showed himself to the Israelite people. You know, it's recorded in the book of Hebrews. We can just turn there for a moment. Hebrews chapter 12. The writer, I do believe is Paul, is mentioning, he is relating to that time at Mount Sinai. And he tells us here, Hebrews the 12th chapter, verse 18, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. Oh my, so that, you know, describes how God was showing himself at Mount Sinai. And in verse 19, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they heard entreated, I'm sorry, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated, that the words should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Oh my, what a sight that must have been. But that was God demonstrating his power. I believe he wanted them to see him in his might, in his majesty, in his greatness. I believe he wanted them to have a glimpse of who he was and their need. Oh yes, to regard him highly. Oh yes, and to hold him with that extreme reverence or awe. Amen. Oh yes. He was showing them who he was in that way, demonstrating his power. Oh, yes. But it seems that they, you know, quickly forgot. That little moment didn't stay with them too long. And likewise, oh, yes, we come to the Lord. We're coming to the spiritual Mount Zion. And to the city of the living God, as it tells us in verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Oh, that word innumerable means so many that we can't count them. Well, praise the Lord, the angels of the Lord that encamp around those that fear the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, but oh, yes, we have come to that place, oh, the city of the living God, the Zion that is above. Oh, praise the Lord, that is free, that is the mother of us all. Praise the Lord. And he says also, verse 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, his called out people, praise the Lord, that have come to the living God in repentance. Oh, yes, fear of his majesty. Oh, in fear of his greatness. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, bowing the knee and oh, submitting one's life to him. Praise the Lord. Yes, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Oh, praise the Lord, that blood that was shed so that we might have remission of sins. Oh, praise the Lord, that we might be forgiven our iniquities and our trespasses. Praise the Lord. Oh, that blood that was shed that we can have healing. Praise the Lord, by those stripes that Jesus took for us. Praise the Lord. And then a warning is given in verse 25 here in this 12th chapter of Hebrews. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And so he goes on, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Oh, yes, we need to regard him with awe, with deference and devotion. Oh, yes, we need to venerate him, adore him, idolize him. Oh, my, he's our God. We may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear.
Amen.
For our God is a consuming fire. And oh yes, there's that appointment that mankind, that this earth has. Oh yes, our God is coming forth. And this time, just like it states here in this 12th chapter, he's not going to just shake the earth like it was shaking there at Mount Sinai. It's not going to just be the earth that is shaken. But oh my, it's going to be the heavens too. Oh, yes, the day of the Lord. Amen. As we know from 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Oh, yes, knowing that, realizing that, it tells us in verse 11 here in 2 Peter 3, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Oh, yes, our whole life should be conducted accordingly. Oh, yes, with that reverence and godly fear, knowing that our God, oh, yes, is a consuming fire. And when he comes back, he's going to consume everything that is not of him. It's all going to be dissolved. It's all going to be burnt up. There's going to be nothing left at his coming. Oh, the only things that are going to be left are those that things that are of him. Oh, yes, so oh, praise the Lord. The things that cannot be shaken. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord, the things that are eternal. Praise the Lord Jesus, amen. Praise the Lord. And yes, it continues in 2 Peter 3, verse 12. looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. Oh, not only that, Mount Sinai shaking and burning with darkness and with fire, and the voice of God is a trumpet. Oh my, the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Oh my, you know, everything in this world consists of elements. That is what God made all things consist of. But they're all going to be melted at the moment of his coming. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we better serve him with reverence and godly fear. Amen. It tells us in verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Oh, yes, we want to give our very best, our most diligence towards preparing our hearts, our lives, for this moment when our Lord comes back to this earth and we stand before him. Oh yes, and oh, that should be our top goal, that we may stand before him in peace.
Yes.
Amen. Our hearts right with God, with nothing to separate us from him. No spots and no blame, you know. Holy and acceptable in his sight. Oh, praise the Lord, because his blood has been poured out and it prevails, and it has touched our lives when we came to him and accepted his mercy and grace and turned to him, through our repentance and believing, the command to be baptized in his name for the remission of sin. Oh, praise the Lord, our wonderful God. But it was in the heart of God to just, desire that his people would fear him, that they would have that kind of awesome respect for him.
Yeah.
To the great extent that they would keep his commandments.
Amen.
Always. All his commandments, always. That it might be well with them.
Yes.
And with their children forever. Amen. That was the mind of God. There would be such a respect that, they couldn't get past it. It would be foremost in their hearts and minds. I love how the Lord talks to us. I know the wonderful, glorious day when he called me unto repentance and also filled me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. There was a sermon preached that, pertained to the wrath of God. To the lake of fire, hell, whatever we want to call it. Yes, and it shook me up. It got a hold of me. I realized I didn't want to go there. I realized my heart wasn't right. I realized, I had to get right with God. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that God called me. And he put that fear in me, that trembling, that awesome respect, that I knew that I had to get right. I had to get right with God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And that is God's desire, that his people would have such a fear for him that, they would regard him with all their heart, and that they would keep all his commandments, doing his will and not running away and doing, the things that the others do, the heathen do, the people that don't know Jesus Christ. So yes, that I believe was the purpose behind the wonderful demonstration there that God showed forth there, also recorded in Exodus, the 19th chapter. When they had prepared their hearts and come together at Mount Sinai, and the Lord spoke to them. And it describes it also in that 19th chapter of Exodus. His voice as a trumpet that sounded loud and long, and it waxed louder and louder and louder, And we know that the people were afraid. They didn't want to hear anymore. So they asked Moses, oh, Moses, you go talk to God. Oh, yeah, and then we will hear you, Moses. You tell us what God has to say. But, oh, my, we can't bear this presence of the Lord. We can't bear, oh, this fire, this darkness, and, oh, the demonstration of his power is too much for us. Oh, I think that indicates man in his sinful nature. With sin in our lives, we can't stand before God. And oh my, you know, point being that Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins. And you've heard me say that all the time. But, you know, I think it's not understood because people wink at sin. People kind of think it's cute, it seems like. And, you know, it's pretty pathetic because Jesus came to this world to save us from our sins, amen, so that we could stand before him, oh yes, with a clean heart, without blemish, without spot, oh yes, that we could be holy in his sight, amen, that we could be his people and live according to his will.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. But oh yes, God wanted them to have that fear in their hearts, that deep respect and awesome wonder for his power and authority and ability, so that, oh, they would just keep on the straight and narrow way and not give in to the whims of the flesh or not look on to the ways of the heathen and you know, decide to go that route. Oh, my. But praise the Lord, yes. God made a way. And I'm sorry to say that the Hebrew people didn't do so well in remembering that. We go to many other portions of the Old Testament and we realize what jeopardy the Israelites are in when they backslid. I'm going to read here from Jeremiah, the second chapter, for a moment here, where they are being reproved by God. And you know, it tells us here, going to the 19th verse, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou saidest, I will not transgress. When upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest, playing the harlot, yet I have planted thee a noble vine, holy a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? For thou, though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. Oh, that was pretty pathetic. They had forsaken the Lord, and oh yes, they'd gone into backslidings. Oh, they had not allowed God's word to correct them. And that was leading to a bitter and an evil end. Oh, they had forsaken the Lord, their God. And it stated there in that 19th verse, and that my fear is not in thee. See, they lost it. They lost their fear for God. And it's no wonder that God demonstrated it so vividly at Mount Sinai. Seems that as human beings that we're rather forgetful, and we do need constant reminders. That's another reason that God's word is so important. Oh yes, to read, to study, to apply. Oh yes, to hold it dear. Oh, to keep it in mind and to not forget it. Oh Bob, you know, we don't want to be like old Judah. Oh yes, that, you know, left the word of God alone, and you know, for years and years, we're just going their own way, and then finally, until the amazing moment when it was found again, they had to realize how backslidden they were. Oh, yes. Well, that's man's tendency. And yes, as God demonstrated his power so powerfully for the Israelite people, yes, he's going to demonstrate his power very powerfully again when he comes again into this world, when he returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, yes, such a moment when all at once there's that realization, this short little life on earth. What did matter except that we fear God and keep his commandments, as Solomon also realized there as he's ending the book of Ecclesiastes. You know, Solomon, he got in great trouble himself. And oh my, he had the means to just go any direction he wanted to go. But oh, what did he discover? That, oh yes, all is vanity. The things of this world, they're all going to perish. Oh yes, they're all going to be dissolved. You know, there's a limit to them. Oh, they're only here for a moment. And oh my, if you don't fear God and keep his commandments, then oh my, you're going to be doomed. Yeah. Yes, it tells us Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, verse 13, as Solomon came to the conclusion of a matter. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Oh yes, he's talking about the judgment when we all stand before God and every man's work is tried with fire. Oh my, to see if we have anything that will stand on that day. Yes, the secret things that people try to hide, oh, will be openly revealed by Almighty God who knows it all. And oh yes, it's going to be told at that moment. Oh yes, what every man's work amounts to, whether it be good or whether it be evil, whether it will stand in the presence of the Lord or whether it will fall. Oh yes, whether we are a sheep on the right hand or a goat on the left, oh, it will all be concluded at that day. Oh yes, that day of judgment. Oh yes, so when our God comes back, he's going to demonstrate his power once again. Oh, it's going to be undeniable as he comes to this world and reveals himself. It tells us here, I'm going to several places, I think, Micah, the 7th chapter, in verse 17. Quite a description here as he comes. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of thee. Oh yes, so we're talking about that kind of fear, that oh yes, when there is that realization that they are in jeopardy. Oh my, that they have nothing but dread or horror or panic in front of them, nothing but an alarm or dismay or consternation. Oh my, that fear of judgment, God's wrath being poured out. Oh yes. God comes forth to demonstrate his power. It describes it also in Joel, the 2nd chapter, if we could go there for a moment here.
Micah?
No, Joel. Joel, the 2nd chapter, yes. And here it says, starting with verse 1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Then all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as, I'm sorry, I did see that colon. Let me do this again. Verse 3, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another, they shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. Oh my, the army of God is so powerful, so mighty. Oh my, that there's going to be no escape. Oh my, no way to get out of the predicament. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. And then it tells us, oh yes, the earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Oh, what a question. Oh, yes, oh, that all would hear this. Oh, that they would hear this word. Oh, yes, and wonder and prepare. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Oh, he's coming. He's coming as a thief. Oh, my. Oh, yes. Talk about the quaking on Mount Sinai when God was demonstrating his power. Oh, here he is showing his power, his might, his authority. Oh, to every creature that ever lived. Oh, yes, the earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. And oh, yes, as all of this is happening in this earth, oh, yes, is beginning, oh, its final moments. And the Lord shall utter his voice, oh, his voice, if it was like a trumpet there at Sinai. Oh, can you imagine the voice of the Lord as he comes with that great shout and the voice of a trumpet? Here it comes, he shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Oh, you know, Joel went on to just tell us what we need to do to get right with God here. He says in verse 12, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering, and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Oh yes, right now we still have time to get right with God. But oh yes, it talks about, oh yes, the need to bow the knee, oh, to come before the Lord, oh yes, to forget about all the things of this world, all the mundane things of this world. And oh, verse 17, that the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach. The heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? And of course, oh yes, there were those moments of judgment that God had to pour out on old Israel. And then upon, oh yes, Judah. But oh yes, it is just all a foretaste of what it's going to be like when he comes again to judge this world in his righteousness. Oh, how we want to be right with the Lord. Oh, yes, how we need and must bend our knees now while we still have a little time. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's also read in Isaiah chapter 13. It also describes the day of the Lord. Oh yes, oh, such descriptions, and we have plenty of them in God's word. It tells us in Isaiah 13, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones. For mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together, the Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord in the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Call ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid. They shall be afraid. Pains and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. Amen. Oh, such descriptions.
Amen.
Such descriptions. Oh, my. And yes, we have a very vivid description in Isaiah, the second chapter. You know how we need to give heed. Oh, yes. The day of the Lord will come. Just as he came the first time to a people that should have been looking for him. And a few of them were. But so many, you know, weren't on that track. They weren't expecting the Messiah to come. They weren't looking for him. In fact, when he came, they did not receive him, did they? So very many of them. But so it is, just as he did come the first time, he will keep his word, and he will come again. This time, not to save his people, but to judge his people, to judge the people of this world with his own righteous judgment.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And I just want to say I'm so glad Brother Tim's able to be here tonight, but it still is hard for him to sit. So if you could just breathe a prayer for him, you know, because he has got a lot of pain yet still on the back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so going to Isaiah, the second chapter here. It tells us, I'm going down to the fifth verse. And again, here we have quite a description. It tells us, O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore, thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. And so here is this referral to the people of Israel that should have known their God. But oh my, they had forsaken him. Oh, they might have still considered themselves to be Israelites. And you still think that, you know, God was their God, but oh my, no, it was far from that in reality. Oh, they had gone the way of the soothsayers, the fortune tellers, the Eastern customs and idolatries, and oh my, all the ways of the occult. And oh yes, they were just doing their own things according to their own thinking, what pleased them. And they had not regarded the word of the Lord. They had forgotten it. It was not hidden in their heart. And oh yes, they had gone astray. Tell me how it is here today. Tell me how many churches will pretend that, you know, they are the church of the living God, and yet be replenished from the east, having taken on Eastern customs and gone the way of astrology and all kinds of forbidden things from the Lord. Yes, oh my. Just doing what they please and disregarding God's word. There's another description here of these people, verse 7. Their land also is full of silver and gold. Neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses. Neither is there any end of their chariots. You know, so it looked like, you know, things were, you know, going well that way. They had material things, silver and gold, and plenty of treasures. And, you know, I've often wondered if this verse isn't a referral to the United States of America. And full of horses, well, this land is full of automobiles, vehicles of all sorts. Oh my, you know, no end to our chariots in that sense. But oh, on the other hand, you know, it looked good from that perspective. It tells us in verse 8, their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man or the average man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore forgive them not. Oh yes, as Samuel has stated, Brother Samuel, that, you know, we have no other gods, oh, before us, that God has emphasized that need, oh yes, that we would serve him and him only. But how many people have a regard of idols? And, you know, it can be more than just an object that you bow down to. It can be something in the heart. Oh yes, that they esteem greater than God. Something that has become an idol in the heart. Oh yes, that they worship in their minds. Oh my. But oh yes, the day of God comes forth in the midst of all of this. And it tells us in verse 10, enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust, for fear the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Yes, these verses here describe everything that is high and regarded as such, everything that is proudful. Oh my, on that day, it's all going to be put down. Oh yes, the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And oh yes, everything that represents that high and loftiness is going to be brought down. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pitchers, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Oh yes, they're going to see him as he is. Oh, King of kings and Lord of lords. And oh yes, all at once, you know, that pomp and circumstance and all that haughtiness of the world. And oh yes, those that try to put on that show and, you know, show their might and their power. Oh, it's going to be brought down. It's going to be brought down. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down. The haughtiness of man shall be made low. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Amen. It's coming that day. And oh yes, as all the signs become obvious and apparent, and all at once those that are high and lifted up, who have not feared the Lord, who have not bowed their knee, oh, who are living in their own sins, all at once they're going to realize, oh, he's coming. He's coming, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And how can we escape? How can we get out of here? Oh, they're going to go try to hide in the holes of the rocks and into the caves. Because, yes, of the fear of the Lord as he comes in his glory and his majesty. Oh, yes, when he comes to shake terribly the earth. Oh, praise the Lord. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the bulls and to the bats. Oh, yes, the understanding, oh, that's all in vain. Those are nothing. And what have I done? What have I done with my life? I gave it over to all this vanity and all these things that are nothing. And yet I did not have fear of the Lord. I did not respect him. I did not give my heart to him. I did not listen, oh, yes, to what his word was telling. Oh, my. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Seek ye for man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Oh, yes, it's that great accounting day. Oh, yes, and oh, yes. It's kind of light to realize that without God we can do nothing. It's kind of a, hard time to realize all at once that, it's because of him that I have breath in my nostrils.
Amen.
Yeah, and now he's coming. He's coming to judge. It's accounting time, and I now must stand before him and give, oh, an account of my deeds that I have done in this lifetime. Oh, my. Oh, we want to be right in the sight of the Lord. I'm so glad for the calling of the Lord when he got our attention and he called us unto repentance. Oh, yes, and put it within us. Oh, that need to get right, to repent. Oh, my, to bend our knee while we still could, and to fear the Lord. Oh, yes, to keep his commandments. Oh, yes, to walk in his ways, to hide his word in our hearts. Oh, yes, that we would not sin against him. Oh, what a day that is going to be when, oh, yes, it all comes into reality. The great and terrible day of the Lord, and who shall be able to stand? Oh, the question that is asked. Oh, yes, our God, who is greatly to be feared. Oh, he is greatly to be reverenced. Oh, to be held in awesome respect. Oh, yes, for his might, for his power. Oh, for all his greatness, his majesty. Going to one more place as I get ready to close here tonight. Jeremiah chapter 17. It tells us here, verse 12, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. And oh, praise the Lord, we can go to that throne, that wonderful throne of grace. Oh, yes, to find mercy. Oh, to find that grace to help us. Oh, Lord, in the time of need, and oh, Lord, to make our petitions and our matters known before the Lord. Amen. That glorious high throne, that awesome throne of Almighty God. Oh, that's the place of our sanctuary. Oh, our hiding place in the Lord, in reality here. But it tells us in verse 13 here, Jeremiah chapter 17. Oh, Lord, the hope of Israel. All that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. Oh, what a moment. You know, those that had a reason to serve the Lord at one point and then forsook him all at once. Could you imagine the shame? And realizing, hey, you know, I could have done way differently. I could have served the Lord. I could have respected him. I could have had that fear of God and kept his commandments.
Yes.
Oh, yes, and those that have departed from him. Oh, my. No, not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but written in the earth. Oh, my. Oh, yeah. Because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. And then verse 14, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. And Jeremiah had to stand before many accusers. But oh, it tells us, as for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, Lord. I'm adding Lord there. Neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee. No, yes, that must be our testimony. That is the testimony that we want to have when we stand before God, that, you know, oh, we didn't reject him. You know, we didn't go astray. You know, we didn't go on the wrong path and, you know, stop following the Lord. Oh, my. But, oh, yes, we had that fear of the Lord deep within our being. And, oh, yes, and it helped us. It steered us. Oh, my, that we would stay on the path that leadeth to everlasting life. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. We want to have that testimony. Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Amen. Oh, we pray that that would be our words, too, when we stand before him. And then it tells us, and here I plan to stop with this verse, verse 17 here in Jeremiah 17. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. Oh, praise the Lord. He's going to be a terror to those that have not kept his word and responded to the gospel. It's going to be a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God at such a moment. Oh, when he comes forth with his righteous anger. Oh my, when he comes forth to judge this world. And oh my, we don't want to know that other side of God. We don't want to know his terror. And oh yes, as Jeremiah uttered it, the thought of his heart, oh yes, be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. Oh, praise the Lord. We have a wonderful hope in the Lord. Oh, a wonderful expectation. Praise the Lord and the Lord our God. Oh, we are so blessed. Oh, yes. Oh, that we can fear him and keep his commandments. Oh, yes, that it might be hidden in our hearts. Oh, yes, that it might be well with us when we stand before the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, yes. Be not a terror unto us, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Oh, God. Oh, yes. Be thou our hope, O Lord, in that day, oh, of thy righteous anger that, oh, Lord, will come forth. Be there that hope for us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we do praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
in closing, we're going to open our chorus book to number 72 and sing For He Is Lord, 72.
Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
safe. Have a wonderful night. Praise God.
Thank you. Thank you.